I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
On Loop Sound, a new look and a whole new way to bring you everything Buffalo Bills. Bills Wall of Famer Steve Tasker and the voice of the Bills, John Murphy, bring you One Bills Live. Weekdays noon to 3 right here on the home of the Bills, ESPN Rochester.
Back in the sports bar, getting you set for Sunday. Buffalo traveling to Cleveland to take on the Browns. 6-2 versus 2-6. Weird how the season has worked out for both teams so far. Sal Capaccio will be roaming the sidelines. You can hear him on the call starting at 1 o'clock with kickoff. Joining us now in the sports bar. Hey, Sal, how are you?
Good, guys. How are you?
Sal, you catch a break, my friend. It seems like I was expecting, you know, snow, wind, something in Cleveland. Looks like it's going to be an okay day for football Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was looking at it was supposed to be like 51 and partly cloudy compared to what we had last couple of weeks. It's definitely going to be a lot better.
Sal, I know that this is something that probably won't get brought up, especially to Sean McDermott, but I couldn't help but think to myself how things would have been differently had the Cleveland Browns been the team to hire Sean McDermott instead of the Buffalo Bills. Has any of that come up this week?
I'm sorry, did it come up this week at all? I will tell you this. Now that you say that, I'm not thinking about it, and I think it's pretty interesting. Yeah, he was. He did interview for that job. Remember that a few years ago?
Yeah.
And they wound up hiring Jackson, right? I'll
right.
do this. I like the fact that Sean McDermott's here in Buffalo. I think he's doing a good job. And I don't think they have the right guy in place in Cleveland right now, but they certainly didn't have the right guy in place when they had Hugh Jackson. Funny thing is, I actually liked Hugh Jackson before he was in Cleveland. I thought he would have been a good fit in Buffalo, but turns out I was probably wrong about that. Now, you know, I look at Freddie Kitchens, and guys, I think he's just in over his head. I think he's got way too much on his plate, and he doesn't know how to handle it right now. He's a smart guy. He has respect for his players. But, you know, he was coaching literally four or five guys in a running back's room a year ago, and now he's a head coach. And that's life comes at you fast, man. You got to be prepared for it, and I don't think he was.
Sal, do you remember this last year? Sean McDermott had a quote somewhere, I'm paraphrasing, that he would take culture over talent.
No, he did not say that.
He didn't say that. Well, okay. Well, it was somewhere along that line, though, right?
Yeah, I know. No, that's right. The only reason I say it like that is I think that it was really misconstrued by a lot of people. What he said was, culture trumps strategy, is what he said. And that does not mean that talent doesn't mean anything. It does not mean he'd rather not have talent. What it means is, the simplest way I can put it is, and this is the way football coaches believe, I think for the most part, not all of them, I think this is the way most people in, you know, sports kind of believe that have the certain mentality Sean McDermott has, which is, look, if you concentrate just on strategy and X's and O's and talent, but you don't care about the people you bring in, you're not going to be as far along as if you care about the people you bring in. And even if you mess up on the strategy part a little bit, or you mess up on the talent part, if you have good people, you can overcome that much more than you can overcome the other way. It's harder to overcome it if you don't have the right people, even if you have the right talent and strategy, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and Sal, I mean, we're coming off of this afternoon. We were down at our convention center here. Kyle Williams was speaking to the Compere Sports Luncheon about the benefits of being a mentor, and you know, he mentioned a lot of what Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have done since coming into this organization, bringing in guys that have that mindset and that things are moving in the right direction. And I guess to go back to my original point, like, I wonder if things would have been different in Cleveland had they just decided to bring in a guy with no head coaching experience in Sean McDermott rather than sticking with Hugh Jackson or going with Hugh Jackson. If the Haslams would have made that choice, would we be having two different conversations about these two franchises 3 years later?
It's a great question, because I think, you know, you have to think about the culture that Cleveland has with their ownership on down, right? I mean, even a guy like Sean McDermott, who's buttoned up, who believes in all these things, would even have the resources and the support and the right fit for him with the organization. You know, all of that matters. And I think that here he fits. He fits with what the Pegulas want and want to give him and want to allow him to do. He fits with who Brandon Bean is. You know, who would be the general manager there? Who would he have to work with? I think all of those things matter. We, we debate the culture word a lot on our radio station. Mm. Some people think it matters much more than others. I think it matters a lot. But culture isn't about good or bad. I think people confuse that. It's not about, oh, if you have a good culture or bad culture. Culture simply is what it is for you. It simply is how do you function? How does your organization function? And if it works for you, how it functions, that's great. It might not work for someone else that way. That's all that matters. And for right now, he's in a good spot with how he functions with the other people in the organization. They're all on the same page.
Sal, I think it comes into focus because if I'm looking at one team with 6-2 record and another team with 2-6 record, would you not make an argument that Cleveland actually has better talent at this point?
I would. I think especially at the skill position. I don't know if they really have overall better talent 1-53, but I definitely think that you could make an argument that Cleveland has more talent when it comes to, wide receiver, even quarterback, what Baker Mayfield did last year. I think that's an argument now that's being kind of debated because he's having a pretty poor season. But sure, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb, think about these players they have, Myles Garrett, they have an incredible talent. So, again, what is the culture in Cleveland? To me, the culture is one of they don't really have a strong leader. They don't have somebody who understands how to be the CEO of a program, how to deal with all of the things that go along with being a head coach and putting it all together. Whereas I think in Buffalo, they don't necessarily have as much talent, but they certainly have people, I think, who are good at building a team and being on the same page and running an organization.
Sal, Corey Legit is now in the rotation at defensive tackle for the Buffalo Bills. How are they going to use him? How often do you think we'll see his name called on Sunday?
It's an interesting question. I think that they'll use him in the rotation for sure this week. It's been a big point of emphasis and focus to stop the run. And Corey Legit really is a guy that I think is more known as a run stopper. He can play a 3 technique or a 1 technique. They need to start making sure they're in their gaps, gap integrity, gap sound. We've heard it so much from Sean McDermott the last couple of weeks, especially this past week or so. And I think that's a guy that they believe can adhere to those principles and really help them. And as far as the snap count is concerned, look, I was interested last week to see that Ed Oliver only played 18 snaps.
Yeah.
What happens with that this week? Is it more? Is it less? Does he get on the field? And I think this is a message to Ed Oliver in a little way. It says, look, we can't play you if you're not going to be in your gap and be responsible for what you're supposed to be responsible for. And look, I think Ed has understood that. He has even kind of admitted that he hasn't been doing that by saying, he used the word freelance this week when being talked to him in the locker room about how he can't kind of freelance like he did in college. You can't be a few inches off in the NFL because that's a few yards for the running back to get.
Sal, what about the idea? I mean, it's a kind of a cliche. Oh, put 8 man in the box, but it could because we saw something like that in the second half against Washington. Would you think that's something we could see? And they're gonna if Cleveland's gonna beat us, they're not gonna do it with Nick Chubb. They're gonna do it through the air. What about the idea of dropping down one of the safeties?
Well, look, I mean, you can try and do that, but now you got to leave Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry a little more one on one exposed. That's a lot different than leaving Terry McLaurin and Paul Richardson exposed with a rookie quarterback making his first start, right? I mean, if you want to go down that road, that's fine. I don't think it's about that for the Bills. I don't think the Bills need to load up the box anymore with Nick Chubb. I just think they need to play better up front. They need to be in their gaps a little more. I'm going to echo what Sean McDermott said. I think they need to be in their gaps more, be more gap sound, have the gap integrity, however you want to put it, and tackle better. And then when the situation arises and calls for it, then you can, bring up a guy if you need to. But if they want to do that, that's fine. If they're going to trust, and maybe they do. Maybe they, we're going to put Trey White on Odell Beckham Jr. and Terry Dobson's going to cover Jarvis when he's in the slot, and we're going to go man-to-man and blanket these guys, and that's fine if they trust to do that. But I do think it's a lot more risky doing that against those guys, especially compared to who they went against last week.
I'm glad you brought his name up because I think he's been the MVP of the Buffalo Bills so far this season, Trey White. I mean, do we expect him to blanket Odell, to stay on that side of the field, move around with Odell? What do you think the Sean McDermott's plan for using Trey White against either Odell or Jarvis this week against the Browns is?
Well, I wish I knew. That'd be great. And if I did, I probably wouldn't say it on the radio or somebody get mad at me. But I will tell you that, what they've done, what they did last week worked. They used, and against a rookie too, Terry McLaurin, they used Trey White to follow Terry McLaurin around the field, whether that was left or right. The week before that, Trey actually did move around, and whichever side Zach Ertz was on, he was on a lot. And I don't know if that was specifically on Ertz or they knew that they liked to throw the receiver that way or whatever, but he did move around a little bit. So I would think that they'd have it in the game plan to be able to do that this week. You know, and then you have to think about if he's not, then you're getting Levi Wallace on Odell Beckham Jr. And, you know, that's, I don't think the matchup you necessarily want, but I think Levi's had a pretty good year. And then Jarvis Landry, he does line up both outside and in the slot. And so you're not going to have Trey White follow Jarvis Landry, I can tell you that, because he's not going to be, you're not going to want to put him in the slot, and you still have Odell. If you're going to follow him, anyone, it's going to be Odell. And then in the slot, you're going to have Jarvis Landry going against Taron Johnson, but then obviously he could slide outside, and then Levi Wallace would be matched up on him.
Sal Capaccio will be on the sidelines. You can tune into his portion of the pregame, 11 o'clock. Pregame begins at 9 a.m. here on the Sports Leader. I want to ask you something, you know, about what Danger just said there. He says Trey White, the MVP. Who do you think has been the midseason MVP for the Bills so far, Sal?
It's hard not to pick someone on the defense, right, because the defense has been so good. And, I mean, if I had to pick someone on the offense, I'd say John Brown. John Brown's been the MVP of the offense. But I can't make him the MVP of the team because they just haven't scored enough points. So I think I'm going to go with one of the safeties, and it's probably Micah Hyde. I think Micah Hyde has quietly, if you will, been just incredible for that group to keep them exactly where they're supposed to be, the quarterback of the defense. Yeah, I mean, he gets some numbers, right? But it's really more about his leadership, his savvy, his smarts, and, you know, Jordan Poyer's right there with him, but I would say Micah Hyde, for everything he brings that we don't even notice, is why he would be the MVP.
Sal, on the offensive side of the ball for the Bills, we see Devin Singletary get more involved after we were kind of scratching our heads as to why he wasn't more involved prior to Washington. Has a nice day against the Redskins, and I guess my question is, when did Brian Daboll start listening to our show? Because we were kind of saying to ourselves, hey, you know what, if you actually give him a decent workload, he's been so good with his opportunities, he could be, you know, statistically one of the better backs in the league if you give him the opportunity to be that.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, you know, people have been screaming for that for weeks, you know, whether it's in Rochester or Buffalo or anywhere, it's been, why is that Devin Singletary not getting the ball? Give Devin Singletary the ball. And finally, they started doing that. And the funny thing was, guys, he was on the field a lot. He just wasn't getting the ball. But he was still really outpacing Frank Gore as far as snaps were concerned up until last week when he finally started getting the ball. And last week he showed why he deserves to get the ball more. Now, I do think he's going to be the lead guy, so to speak, going forward as far as getting the ball more. I don't know, though. We're not going to see Frank Gore phased out of this offense. Frank Gore is still going to have a role, and you're still going to see, and he may come up with a big game here or there, and they may ride the hot hand. If Frank Gore's running the ball well, you may see he's still getting, you know, more carries than Devin Singletary. But I'm glad to see that. You know, he isn't with you, and you don't want to overwork him, but I think that they were underworking him, as you said. So we'll see, and hopefully that's the case. It reminds me this week, actually, what they're going through in Cleveland. Everything that we thought about Devin Singletary, you guys, me, everybody included, you know, they've been saying the same thing about Odell this week. And it seems to me everybody in Cleveland that I watched these press conferences, Freddie Kitchens, the offensive coordinator, everybody, they're getting hammered on Odell's usage, how much they're not using him. I have a sneaky feeling, especially in the red zone, by the way, I have a sneaky feeling they're gonna force the ball to Odell this week as much as they can.
That would be awesome, Sal. That would be good. I think that would be beneficial, and here's why. Because if Trey White is one of the best corners, and I think he is, follow him around. Trey White, this is his time to shine. And the other thing, too, if you can kind of comment on this, Trey White has an ability to get under players' skin, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I kind of remember Odell Beckham Jr. kind of flipping out when he was with the Giants a few years ago. So the potential to see that, Sal, that to me seems like the game within the game coming up Sunday.
Well, can I give you a prediction? Ready? How about this one? Ready? I think that Odell Beckham Jr. this week either goes off against the Bills or goes off against the Browns. I think it's one or the other. He's either going to put up numbers because they're forcing the ball and he's making plays, or he's going to get frustrated, and we're going to have a big story on our hands, you know, as far as the NFL and Cleveland and Odell.
Well, Sal, we joke that, you know, when the Bills beat a team that they're not expected to beat, or even when they do beat a team that they're expected, the Bills have a way of making organizations kind of look in the mirror and decide that they need to make changes, whether it's, you know, last year against the Jets when they clearly quit on Todd Bowles, or, Adam Gase at the end of last year, benching Eli Manning after week two this year. Like, you know, everybody's talking about Freddie Kitchens losing his job at season's end. Why not after a Bills loss on Sunday?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I guess I don't think they're going to make a change with Freddie right now, at least. And maybe they do overall, guys. Maybe they make a change with him. Here's the thing, though. If they do that, they would literally have, I believe, their fourth head coach in 24 games. Think about that for a second.
That's insane. And Sal, by the way, we've had you on for all this time. We've yet to even mention the name Josh Allen. How do you rate his play here the last couple of weeks? It seems very game managerish, yet efficient, and he's at least appears to be a little bit more careful with the football.
Yeah, I think you guys just hit the nail on the head. What you said is right. Game manager, efficient. I think all of that is right. Last week I said he was very efficient. I do a column, as you know, arrow up, arrow down after every game. And last week I gave him an arrow up for his efficiency. It wasn't his overall play that he, you know, was lighting up the scoreboard. But guys, I will say he did have 8 yards an attempt. That's a big number in the NFL, 8 yards an attempt. He only threw 20 times, but he had 160 yards. So I think that he played an efficient game. The biggest thing is, gosh, he hasn't thrown a pick in 89 attempts. It's the longest streak of his career, a short career. It's been three games. He's thrown, what, six touchdown passes in that time, no interceptions. He did put the ball on the ground last week again. That's still a problem. But I think Josh Allen's played well. I think he's played efficient, and I agree with you. They're only asking him to be a game manager right now. And, you know, in one sense, that's great that he's doing that. The other sense is, okay, at some point, though, you have to ask your seventh overall pick to not be a game manager and to win a game. And I think that's where the trepidation comes in from Bills fans, which is he going to be able to do that? And if you're not asking him to do that, why aren't you asking him to do that? Are you afraid of that? Look, the Bills are winning games the way they know they can win right now. Leaning on defense, running the ball, asking Josh Allen not to do too much. At some point, the formula is going to have to change, whether that's this week, next week, a month from now, a playoff game, or next year. And that's when I think that we're going to start having to really evaluate what's going on here with Josh Allen.
Well, I mean, if you believe in, you know, the snowball effect when things are going wrong for a football team for Cleveland, Sal, I would make the argument that the Bills should open it up this week, if nothing else. Get a two-touchdown lead early and get those fans, get that gloom coming in. We've talked to people out in Cleveland this week, Sal, and it's funny how one expert said this Browns team, people are more upset with this year's team than they were the 0-16 team because the expectations were high. So, I mean, just the thought that what do you think about getting a quick lead as being a very big key this week?
Oh, of course. I think you want to do that every week. And, you know, I just don't know if the Bills, I don't know if they're equipped to necessarily do that. You know, I mean, you can do it this week. You can do it in the game. It's not a team that does it, you know, is equipped to do that necessarily naturally every week. But I think this week would be a great week to do that. I would love to see, you know, the Bills jump out on a two-score lead, 10-0, 14-0. You know, make doubt creep in on Cleveland, a team that's already 2-6. Get them fighting amongst each other on the sidelines. Get Odell upset that he's down and they're not getting the football. I think that would be a great recipe for this team to win this week. And, you know, if Cleveland does also the other way, though, the other way could be disastrous. If the Browns get up 10-0 and they're hitting on a few plays, they have a lot of talent, as you guys noted. They could get a lot of confidence. So I think it's very big what happens in the first 15 minutes of this ballgame.
Sal, appreciate your time as always. You're the best. Safe travels to Cleveland, and we look forward to talking to you again soon. Be good.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
Sal Capaccio, as our pregame coverage will begin at 9 a.m. Sal and the Roundtable at 11 a.m. this Sunday. Good way to start your pregame preparations here on the Sports League.
Sal Capaccio's appearance here on the Sports Bar, we'll have that up and on demand for you at radio.com, the radio.com app. It's free to download. And if you search out the Sports Bar, all of our guest appearances appear for you right there. You're listed. You can listen anytime you want, anytime, anywhere with the radio.com app. Takes on the way next. I'll drink to that. A game we play here in the Sports Bar every day at this time. Gino, college football is the best sport for takes. I'll explain.
Oh, it always has been, though. It's manufactured drama,
I will,
the way the setup
I
is.
Will explain it. It is, imagine what it would be like if your favorite sport did things the way college football did. Our life, our world, where we get to talk about sports every day for 3 hours on the radio, would be easy. I mean, it would be just wonderful. Every day would be a brand new debate.
We cannot have the Buffalo Sabres season go off the rails here in the next 72 hours, okay? So we may say, that, oh, Sweden, what it? No. No, I think this is a really big turning point. I'll explain. We got to talk a little more Sabres here. It's been too long. Also, NBA load management.
something you kind of brushed me off on. I'm going to bring this up.
Oh, no.
It is a generational thing.
Oh,
and
don't be old man yelling at clouds today, Gino. We're having a good day.
I'm not the old man yelling at clouds.
Oh.
I have another old man that's going to do the yelling for me.
And we mentioned it as we were walking to and from today's Compeer Sports Luncheon at the Convention Center. You know, something that I regularly see when I walk around downtown. I want to address it. Homeless people and how we deal with them. I have a take.
Okay.
I'll share it.
All right.
That's all on the way next. I'll drink to that. The Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.